Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Live from Blake Street Tavern, here's Stokely and Zach.
All right, it's time to fill in the blank. A Friday staple here in season on a Bud Light Football Friday, live from Blake Street Tavern. James Merrillat from DenverFan.com filling in for Brandon Stokely today. Let's take a look at the defensive side of the ball. The Broncos defense will hold Kansas City blank their season average of 26 points.
Well, the way that's written, you almost have to say under. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be under. I think they're going to get over 26
okay,
points.
Okay, you want to know what? That was poorly written. That is on me. It should have been the Broncos defense blank Kansas City of their season average of 26
points.
They'll
allow over Kansas City's average of 26 points a game.
That's a low number from what we've seen.
It is.
When I first saw it, I said, dang, I went back and looked last year. They were averaging like 28. Year before was like 29.8. It was like nearly 30 a game. So I wonder how much of that has to do with the first portion of the season as opposed to the last month.
Yeah, they've been better, although they only scored 19 against the Cowboys.
Yeah, you're
that was
right.
Kind of an
you're
ugly
right.
game. Prior to that, they had a couple of weeks where it was like, all right, the Chiefs are back on track here. They look like their old selves. So maybe I'm still caught up in the past with Mahomes and with Andy Reid and with all those skill position guys.
You want to know what? 30-second timeout. Last outing, they scored 19 against the Cowboys. Now, the week before that, they scored 41. But prior to that, they scored 13 against the Packers and just 20 against the Giants. So in three of the last four games the Chiefs have played, they've scored 20 or less.
Man, that 41 just really made an impression, apparently. Because it feels like they were rolling and they were back. And maybe it was just, hey, they were getting wins, and then they put together a couple of wins in a row and then scored 41. And you're like, oh, they're definitely back. So I just feel, though, like it sort of feels like that breakout game, national TV, Mahomes putting on a show, Chris Collinsworth just carrying on and on and on about him. So I think it's going to be over the 26.
All right, we move along here looking at the Broncos defense. The Broncos pass rush will sack Patrick Mahomes blank times.
Two. I think they're going to get some decent pressure. Again, that was my most the thing I was most impressed with against the Chargers, the way the Broncos got after Herbert with four guys, was the key to the game. And that if they have any chance against the Chiefs, they have to do the same thing. But do I have faith in Stephen Weatherly and Jonathan Cooper and McTelvin Ajim to go on the road and harass Patrick Mahomes play after play after play? No, but I think they'll get him a couple of times.
All right, we're filling in the blank here, looking at the defensive side of the ball for Denver. The Broncos defense blank have an interception off the former league MVP.
Won't. This is a team that, for the most part, has forced one turnover per game during the Vic Fangio era. Like, the average is almost exactly that. They had a couple last week. I think they come back to norm this week and post a goose egg. Gets them to, all right, two in the last 2 weeks, so I don't think they pick one off this week.
All right, we're filling in the blank, looking at the Broncos defense.
I mean, if they throw one right to Pat Surtain, he'll catch it. We did establish that.
Can you stop it?
But
we already did this earlier in the week. I'm not doing this with you again.
I don't know that he's going to get one thrown right to him on Sunday.
You either make the play or you don't make the play. All right?
Gotcha.
Only you would shed light on the fact that Pat Surtain's defensive player of the week in the whole league was not impressive.
Made a play that 50 other cornerbacks in the league could have made.
You could have made it if you were out there.
Right, exactly.
Of course. Bradley Chubb will have blank impact on the game.
Zero. I want to be wrong about this. You and I, everybody gives us a hard time if you're so hard on Bradley Chubb and, you know, give him a break. He's coming back from injury. Like, I don't want to be hard on him, and I don't even have these huge expectations. Like, I think it's very reasonable and very fair to say a guy that was the number five overall pick, you ought to notice he's on the field.
Right.
Like, that's a pretty low bar.
And by the way, and this is real, no one's been hard on Bradley Chubb. No one. You want to see someone hard on Bradley Chubb? If Bradley Chubb played in Philadelphia,
oh my goodness,
Cleveland,
oh my goodness,
or New York, I'm telling you, no one's been hard on Bradley Chubb. He's a fifth overall pick, and outside of his rookie season, which was years ago, he's been rather anonymous.
I mean, people make a lot of excuses for him, A, and I get it, he's been injured, but they make a lot of excuses for him, and then B, man, they hype up his bullet points on his resume like they're the greatest accomplishments ever, right? It's like, well, he was a Pro Bowler last year. And then you always come back with, well, he didn't even lead the team in sacks, which is such a good rebuttal to it. You're right. He may become Teflon Chubb. He might. He's almost Teflon category.
Okay.
He gets that much of a free pass.
Okay.
But
he's good in the run.
He's good. There you go.
He sets the edge.
Yep, sets the edge. That's what they'll break out when it's like, well, you can't measure it. There's no stat for it. So let's make up something.
Yeah.
That's what they always said about Robert Ayers, one of the all-time bust first-round picks here in Denver. Ah, he sets the edge. That Bradley Chubb is starting to turn into that kind of a guy, unfortunately. I think he's going to have zero impact. And again, of all these things that I've said that maybe aren't a positive for the Broncos, that's one that I most hope I'm wrong, because I really do root for the guy to come back.
Yeah, we're all rooting for him. That's the thing. Like, me pointing this out, like, does not make me a hater of Bradley Chubb.
No.
It makes me a fair evaluator is what it does.
Yeah, yeah. And he just had zero impact on the game against the Chargers. The Broncos were actually much better when he was not on the field defensively.
Two of their three sacks came when he was on the sideline.
So I think it's going to be similar on Sunday night. Let's hope I'm wrong.
The member of the defense I have the most confidence in is...
I'm gonna say Justin Simmons. I mean, he's a little bit like he's the Teddy Bridgewater. This is gonna sound like a backhanded compliment. He's the Teddy Bridgewater of the defense. You know exactly what you're gonna get from Justin Simmons every single week. Very steady. He's not gonna make some, you know, huge highlight hit like you see sometimes out of Kareem Jackson. He's not gonna make a flashy interception like you saw. Who's the safety for the Buccaneers that had the pick against the Colts?
Winfrey.
Yes, one of the Winfield. One of the most amazing.
Antoine Winfield Jr.
Yeah,
there you go.
That type of play, you're not gonna see that from Justin Simmons, but he's just gonna be slow and steady, man. He's the tortoise. So he's the one I have the most confidence in because he's not up and down. He's not up and down. It's not the peaks and valleys, so give me Justin Simmons.
The member of the defense I have the least confidence in is?
Oh, boy. You know what? I'm going to go with – is Shelby going to be back?
I don't know.
I'm going to go Shelby Harris. I have zero confidence in Shelby Harris. I hated that contract when they gave it to him. I thought they overpaid him. I thought he's a guy that gets a lot of hype for making plays that are really, you know, hey, you batted down a ball. Yeah, because you don't get anywhere near the quarterback. And, you know, he makes a timely play here and there, but I think he's a vastly overrated, vastly overpaid player. So, okay, here you are. You're going into a big game, biggest game since Super Bowl 50. National TV, chance to be in first place. This is where your highest paid guys need to step up. It's why we're down on Bradley Chubb. Like, this is the moment. This
right.
is when you should be making a play.
Right, right.
All right, well, Shelby Harris, you're making $9 million a year. What's the Shelby Harris highlight from the season? He probably got his hand on a field goal at some point.
Yeah, he did. He actually did.
Okay. There we go. So other than that, like if you were saying what special teams player do I have confidence in, maybe I'd think of Shelby Harris. But defensively, that's a guy making what he makes and is a veteran on this team and a guy who likes to talk a lot about how the fans and the media don't give him any respect.
Yeah, he's famous for that. Yeah.
Go out and shut everybody up. I don't see it coming from Shelby Harris, which means I'll have three sacks and a pick. He'll tip one up and catch it and take it
to the house.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Stiff-arming guys. All right, last one here. The member of the defense. Oh, no, we already did that. Okay, we've been documenting the 11 losses leading up to Sunday Night Football. It's one of the longest losing streaks in Broncos history. And we get to one of our final ones, a pure, unadulterated ass-whooping.
October 25th, 2020. As the Broncos welcomed the Chiefs to Mile High, there was optimism the nine-game losing streak to Kansas City could end, coming off an upset win in New England. Unfortunately, that optimism subsided quickly as the Chiefs scored on offense.
First and 10, Edward Helaire. Here's a hook. Oh, he's slippery and into the end zone for a touchdown. What a run!
Defense.
It's picked off on the play. It's Sorensen to the house.
And special teams.
He finds a seam. He breaks a tackle. The kicker to beat. Look at Pringle. Galloping free. He will go all the way. Unofficially 102 yards.
Chiefs delivered their most dominant win at Mile High in 54 years. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead this Sunday.
All right, here we go. We're fixing to find out. Massive task awaits the Broncos in Kansas City. And what are they saying about the Broncos in Kansas City, Missouri? We'll find out in Behind Enemy Lines coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Live from Blake Street Tavern, here's Stokely and Zach.
What in the world are they saying about the Denver Broncos in Kansas City? We invite into the program Cody Tapp, which is one half of Cody and Gold on 610 Sports KC. There, we've had his partner, Alex Gold, on the show forever, and we figured we'd tap into his co-host there. Cody, welcome to the program. When it comes to the tone around the Denver Broncos, when you're on the air and when you talk to your listeners, what's the vibe when it comes to Denver?
I mean, more often lately, it's been probably the way Denver Broncos fans felt for the 3 years preceding the way it is now, where it's like, oh, okay, well, you can't beat the Chiefs because you haven't done it in so long. It doesn't even feel plausible anymore. But I also think that, like, at the moment, this team in particular, like, this year is a very confusing Broncos team. None of us took them seriously for the first 3 weeks when they were beating up on bad teams. And then they lost all those games in a row, and you're like, okay, yeah, that tracks. And then over the next 3 weeks, or the last 3 weeks, they're beating real teams, and now it's confusing. Because you didn't want to believe them at any point, and over the last 3 weeks they've gotten healthy and are playing their best football, so maybe they can beat Kansas City? But their focus has been more on the Chargers probably over the last couple of years because Herbert's looked so good versus even anything Denver's done here lately.
Speaking of confusing, Cody, I mean, the Chiefs have been a bit of an enigma this year as well. It seems like they're getting back on track. I mean, they're back atop the AFC West. There they are at 7-4. But if you look back the last four games, they kind of had the one game where they had the big offensive output, scored 41. But the offense still doesn't quite seem back. Is that sort of the sense around there? Are people worried about it? Where's this team offensively at this point?
There's a couple of things to feel good about offensively. That is, the turnovers have really slowed down. So, like, Mahomes has only thrown two or three picks in the last five games, which would put him more on, like, a 9 or 10 interception pace, much more in line with what he's done career-wise. I think in the Dallas game, I think that was just about they got a lead and Andy is willing to sit on one. And then they could have scored more, but didn't. And then they kind of reined it in, and then Kelce dropped one pass that eventually led to a pick and some points. So the previous two games, like against Green Bay, they were not good offensively. They just didn't get anything going. They're kind of stuck in a world. I think they're close. I don't think everybody feels that way, but I think they're close.
Cody Tapp.
If you watch them, they still get a lot of first downs and stuff. They're just short.
Cody Tapp, one half of Cody and Gold on 610 Sports KC, joining us here. Jumping in there a little premature there, Cody, but I'll ask you this. What's a concern? Like, obviously, you guys haven't lost a game in a month and, you know, been to Super Bowls and three straight AFC title games, but when you look at the team, no one knows it better than the guys who cover it the way that you do there in Kansas City. What's a flaw that the Broncos can maybe exploit?
So, the run defense is obviously where people are going to point to because Javonta Williams has been so good for you. They were really good at holding Derrick Henry down, but it was Ryan Tannehill who completely lit him up through the play action. They haven't had a real test in the run game, probably since Derrick Henry, and they got blown out in that game. So I'm still worried about the run defense. They've gotten up on some teams, and that hasn't been a real factor. So Denver offensively is going to take advantage of anything. It's that. They also are without Rashad Fenton. He got deemed out today. He's rated very well all year. He's played really well. So now the cornerback depth is a little bit tested. So Denver has enough deep options. I think that that's probably a place that they can take advantage of. Defensively, because I think Kansas City's close, when they're going perfect, it doesn't matter how good your defense is. Good luck. The offensive line has been very good. They've got their better running back. They obviously still have weapons. And unless Patrick Surtain really can guard Travis Kelce one-on-one, like they had originally said when they drafted him, I don't know how you match up there. So if they've got a guy or the linebackers who I know they feel really good about can somehow shut Kelce down, fine. But it's still hard for me to imagine that that's the case.
Cody, the Broncos haven't played a game in front of a hostile environment in more than two calendar years. I think that's going to be have a big impact on the game. For people who maybe haven't been to Arrowhead, what's that environment going to be like on Sunday night when the Broncos roll in there?
Yeah, it's not overplayed. I mean, there is a distinct advantage between playing at Arrowhead. Even there was a difference when they were playing against Dallas, and Dallas had maybe 40% of the stadium. But when they're in the game and it matters, it's a problem. The one thing I would say it helps is at least Teddy Bridgewater has been around the league long enough to have experienced it. But it is loud. There will be penalties. Your team will hurt yourself a little bit no matter what. Kind of in the case, the question is, can you make up for those 5-yard mistakes? The mistakes other teams have been making you want to avoid, they've been doing on third down. Like, you do it on third down, then you sink yourself and you're punting or you're kicking longer field goals and you just can't survive it. If they can avoid that, Denver will be okay.
All right, one half of Cody and Gold on 610 Sports KC. Cody Tapp, give me a prediction for Sunday night.
I like Kansas City 30-20. I think that they're close. Again, I really think the Chiefs are getting ready to turn back into that 30-point offense. Maybe I'm wrong. Denver is obviously one of the best sets defensively they're going to get all year, just based on where they've been all season. But I just don't see it. And for Denver's offense, their problem is they're catching Kansas City at their absolute best. So I just still think Kansas City wins. I think it's right around that line marker, but I'll take them 30-20.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Cody Tapp, we appreciate your time here in the Mile High City.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
All right, there he goes. One half of Cody and Gold on 610 Sports KC. That's the flagship there of the Kansas City Chiefs. So Cody sounds pretty confident, James.
He does. He doesn't sound like he's too worried about Teddy Bridgewater and company coming in there and derailing the Chiefs. I remember when the Chiefs were, sputtering early in the season and saying, will you be shocked if at the end of the year you look up and they're 13-4, 12-5, and here they are at 7-4, and it wouldn't shock me one bit if they ran the table. Because I think he's right. I think they you look at the numbers and you look at the points, and it's like, they're not the same old Chiefs. But it really is one or two plays here or there. It's a drop here or there. It's an ill-timed penalty. It's a couple of games where they didn't really have to do much. Wasn't the Packer game the Jordan Love game?
It should have been
Rodgers versus Mahomes. So, like, they didn't have to do anything.
And if they had a competent backup, they probably would have lost that game.
Well, but I also think Kansas City would have played it different. It's a little bit like when the Bucks came in here and faced Jeff Driscoll. Right, they didn't ask Tom Brady to do a bunch. It's like, well, if we don't turn the ball over and give the Broncos some cheap points, Jeff Driscoll isn't going to beat us. It was sort of that kind of a game. So I think Cody's onto something here with the Chiefs are just ready for that breakout game, which is why that 26 that you mentioned when we were doing fill in the blank, that's why it was over.
All right, we'll see how it all shakes out on Sunday night football. We are live from Blake Street Tavern, the Big House on Blake. 18,000 square foot sports bar, 69 high def televisions, endless amount of beers on tap, an incredible menu that you can experience. They got college games all on Saturday, the pro games on Sunday. If you are stepping out this weekend, want to have some fun, have some great food, watch the games, be in a great environment, make it the Blake Street Tavern. All right, I am going to take James's money this weekend because I'm going to pick more games right than him. Then he's going to have to Venmo me on Tuesday, and we'll go over those picks coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Live from Blake Street Tavern, here's Stokely and Zach.
All right, let's pick some games. We got a little Twinkie on the line. Me and James Merrill at.
And just to reset the table here, I believe the only game we're different on so far
Cincinnati.
Is Cincinnati and the Chargers.
Yep, you got the Chargers. I got the Cincinnati Bengals at home.
All right.
I paid you last time. I even reached out. I even reached out twice.
A couple of times.
Because I'm like, wait, is he not trying to get paid so he can hold it over my head in some sort of weird fashion?
Well, I was kind of hoping I'd come on with you guys and not have been paid and could make, could bring it up and Stoke would jump all over it.
Right,
that was a little bit of my plan.
Okay.
When you ask the second time, it's like, well, now it's going to be obvious.
Yep. I pay my debts here.
You do.
We got a little Twinkie on the line. We've already picked half of the games. We get to the Eagles, who are coming off. They were playing some good ball. They got knocked off last week by the New York Giants. And I actually picked that game against Stoke. They're traveling to New York to play the other New York team, the New York Jets, who are a 3-8 football team. Philly's favored by a touchdown. Does Philly get right against the Jets?
I hate this game. Like, part of me wants to pick the Jets. I really do. and maybe because I was on Philly last week and watched that debacle till the bitter end and watched Jalen Reagor have the ball bounce off his face mask, then it had him on fourth down at the goal line, drop what would have been the game-winning touchdown. So I think I'm a little bit bitter, but I just can't in good conscience pick the Jets. And they're playing a little better, but I can't pick the Jets. It's a big game for Philly. They need it. That division continues. I guess it got a little bit more spacing last night with the Cowboys win, but continues to be something you can be in no matter what your record is. So I will take the Eagles in this one.
Yeah, I like the Eagles, and I actually think they cover that touchdown spread, too. The New York Jets are one of two teams to not be favored in a single game this season. That's how you know you're bad, when you are expected to lose every single time you take the field. The only other team that can proclaim that is the Detroit Lions, who are winless.
Did the Broncos make it through all of last season without being favored in a game?
I think they changed at the end of the year. They were like became like a one-point favorite against someone.
I also was thinking about picking the Jets until I looked over here and it's the Philly fans, and they just sort of gave me this glare. I'm like, I don't think I should.
that's Philly Nick and Philly Chris over there. Okay, and by the way, the New York Jets, worst against the spread record in the NFL this season. They are 2-8 against the spread. The spread tries to make it even. So every time, they're worse off than the experts even think.
I still think that's a franchise, though, that is headed in the right direction. As crazy as that sounds. Like, I like Robert Saleh.
Me too.
I think he's going to be really good head coach. I think Zach Wilson is going to be good. I do think that team is turning around. It's just not going to happen this week against Philly.
We got the 2-9 Jags traveling to the 7-4 Rams. This game is going to be a part of my buy or sell video, which will come out here in the next 24 hours or so on our fan Twitter account. And James, the buy or sell videos been going over well. All right, 2-1 followed by 2-1 followed by 3-0. This game is in that. I think the Rams, this is the perfect slump buster game. It's a get right game. They've lost three straight. The sense of urgency has got to be a 9 out of 10. I think they blow the doors off Bourbon Urban and the Jacksonville Jags.
I'm no mathematician, but that means you're 8-2 in the last 3 weeks in the buy and sell videos.
Correct.
80% you're hitting them. That's pretty hard to do in this league.
It's really hard.
That's crazy. I'm with you on this one. I think the Rams have been scuffling. Obviously, they've lost, three straight? I think this is the get-right game. I think they're going to have a big lead. Yeah, maybe a little bit of a backdoor concern here because the number's 13.
Yep.
But I think the Rams are going to come out. I think they're going to hit the Jaguars right in the mouth and have a big, big lead. It's the get-right game for the Rams.
All right. We'll see how it shakes out. We move along. We got the Washington football team at 5-6. You know, 3 weeks ago, this team was 2-6. Now they're 5-6. They've won three straight games, believe it or not. They travel to Las Vegas to play the Raiders. I got a real lean on this one, too, but I'm curious to see what you think.
I'm going to go Vegas. They've been a little bit of a hard team to figure out, but they played down in Dallas on Thanksgiving. They got the win. That's not an easy place to go play, especially on Thanksgiving Day, so that was impressive. You know, they had all that turmoil, right? It was the Gruden stuff, and then they had the Henry Ruggs situation.
Yeah, ugly.
And it kind of caught up to them there for a little while, and now they seem like they're getting it back on track. So I think the Raiders are going to win this game. I think they beat Taylor Heineke and the Washington football team organization.
Club.
You call them club
activity.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
All right. This is a reunion of Derek Carr and his old coach, who's the defensive coordinator in Washington. You know what I'm talking about? Who was the coach before Gruden? Do you
Jack
remember?
Del Rio.
Jack Del Rio.
Heck yeah.
Yes, this is
showing
a reunion.
Showing shark videos and stuff.
That's right. And if you remember, they had an awkward social media exchange when Del Rio went to ESPN and pointed out Derek Carr's difficulty in cold weather games. I think Derek Carr's got a real chip on his shoulder with this one. I like the Raiders. I think they cover the spread. You got the 49ers, who really feel like they have turned a corner. I had them beat in Minnesota last week in my buy or sell video, and they paid off that in a big way. They travel to a scuffling Seahawks team that doesn't look anything like the team over the last decade. They are 3-8. The number on the game is San Francisco, favored by about 3.5. Who you got?
The Seahawks are a mess. Russell Wilson just doesn't, he's not healthy. He just doesn't look like himself. And all that said, they still almost pulled off a so Seahawks-esque comeback.
I know.
On Monday night against the Washington football team, right? Like, that was so Seattle with, well, it would have been the chip shot field goal to go up two scores, but their kicker's hurt. Then they get the touchdown, and it gets overturned on what is a, you know, not a call that was obvious that should have been overturned. They get the touchdown, they get the outside. It was just so Seattle. all of that said, I'm with you. I think the Niners are, I think they're for real. I think they're a team, if you're in the NFC, you don't want any part of that team come playoff time.
Nope.
I think they're starting to look more and more like the team that went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. They can run the football.
Yeah, they're tough. They're physical.
Yep. George Kittle's back. That gives them that dynamic in the passing game. Debo Samuel's one of the most unheralded
totally
big play players in
totally
the league. You don't hear about them a lot.
And here's another name. Just to and I don't mean to interrupt with you, but add to what you're saying. This kid Elijah Mitchell.
Yep.
This kid Elijah Mitchell, who is from Stokely's alma mater. He's a raging Cajun. He's a rookie. He's got four games with 100 or more rushing yards this season. That's the most by any rookie in the history of the San Francisco 49ers. Already, still got six games left.
Yeah, and I think Debo's a top five receiver in terms of yardage. Like he's had
this
a
year,
monster
yeah
year.
Yep. Yep.
So I think the Niners are going to go into Seattle, a very tough place to play. It's just not a tough place to play this year. I think San Francisco gets the win.
I think so, too. All right, you got the Ravens, who are 8-3, traveling to Pittsburgh, who, you know, again, the Steelers, they are like yesterday's news. They're kind of like the Seahawks. Like the last 10 years, formidable, tough, you know what you're going to get. You better pack a lunch. This year, they're very middling. This game is in Pittsburgh. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Steelers, and I'm not 100% sure why. It's just they're kind of one of those teams when every time you think they're dead, you look up and you're like, how are the Steelers two games above 500 and in the playoff mix? Like, they just don't go away. Like, Mike Tomlin's teams aren't sub 500. They're 5-5-1. I mean, I'm picking a team that tied the Lions, and I'm picking them to beat a good Ravens team. I just believe in Mike Tomlin. I really do. I think he's one of the best coaches in football. I think he will find a way in this game to beat the Ravens. Their season is kind of on the line,
it is,
right?
It is.
So I think Pittsburgh, in a game that makes no sense whatsoever, Baltimore is a better team. I'm going to take the Steelers.
I was so hoping you were going to do that because you are not picking the better team.
I know.
You're openly admitting
that. I know
that.
I'm not.
I am picking the team that's 8-3 and is the Baltimore Ravens. And if this comes down to this game, you're going to have to Venmo me because of this.
Every week there are games where the lesser team wins.
Yeah, that's true.
Happens every single week.
Yep.
This is the one everybody's going to look back on going, Pittsburgh? They beat Baltimore? And people aren't going to believe it. That's the one. That's the one you're going to when you're Venmoing me, you're going to be so bitter when you're having to type in the reason.
Yeah.
It's going to be that game.
All right. And I'll just label it under the explanation why. I'll just label it Lamar. All right. Great stuff. We're live here at Blake Street Tavern for about another 20 minutes or so. If you're anywhere near Lodo, come by and say hello. But we have been talking about this game against the Kansas City Chiefs all week long. It is a massive game. Biggest game since Super Bowl 50. It's been flexed into prime time. It's an 11-game losing streak. Does it come to an end while the world is watching? Our keys of the game and Broncos pick coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Live from Blake Street Tavern, here's Stokely and Zach.
Yes, we are live. The big house on Blake. Absolutely love being at the Blake Street Tavern. And it is not Brandon Stokely with me. It's the one and the only James Marilat from DenverFan.com. Have had a blast chatting with you today and earlier in the week. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, fun, high energy, sometimes divisive debates. And it's just been a blast. And we've really been, you know, we've been looking forward to this Sunday night football game, but we've also been looking back. 11 consecutive losses to Kansas City. And we talk about how crazy this league is and how much parity there is. And 25 of the 32 teams have five or more wins. That's the most in NFL history for this late in the season and all this stuff. But there hasn't been any parity with Broncos Chiefs for many, many years. You know, we had Noah Fant on Tuesday. I said last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs was September of 2015. And what were you doing then? And he said, I was getting ready for high school basketball season.
Yeah, he was a junior in high school.
And like, that was his junior year.
Yeah.
He then went to college for years. He's been here for years. He's in year three, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just really incredible. And we've looked back at 10 of the losses. And we look back at a final 11th loss, the one that actually looked close on paper.
December 6th, 2020. Sunday Night Football at Arrowhead. The Broncos' 11th straight loss to the Chiefs concluded with two of the ugliest words in sports. Moral victory. Behind a big game from Melvin Gordon, Vic Fangio's Broncos actually hung in against the Chiefs, even taking a lead in the second half.
Hold in, but out of bounds by Tim Patrick. Now they're going to call it a touchdown. Touchdown.
After Patrick Mahomes retook the lead, Drew Lock had the ball in his hands in his hometown of Kansas City with a chance to finally end Broncos country's misery and snap the streak.
Over the middle, and then we intercepted it. That's going to wrap it up. So, Tyrann Mathieu does it again.
With the defeat, the Broncos' losing streak to Kansas City now spans 11 games, 3 head coaches, and 6 quarterbacks. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead this Sunday.
All right, that was the final installment. And then I didn't quite realize until you just heard, like, this spans 3 different head coaches. The Broncos have won a Super Bowl since the last time they beat the Chiefs.
Remarkable. I mean, Peyton Manning feels like he's been gone for ages. I mean, he's been inducted in the Hall of Fame and the Ring of Fame.
Right.
You have to wait 5 years
for
that.
Right,
Since the Broncos last beat the Chiefs. That vignette, and this is going to surprise you to hear, but that was the most disappointed I've been in Drew Lock during his tenure in Denver. Because it's 22-16, you're on the road, you got a chance to beat the Chiefs, you get the football in your hands with the game on the line. And not that he didn't do it. Like, that's a tough ask. But, like, make it interesting. You know, get down to, like, the 30, the 35. Make the Chiefs fans sweat a little bit.
Like Keenum did.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you chuck a couple into the end zone as Hail Marys toward the end of the game. And, all right, you lose, but you made them sweat.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they got a first down and he threw a, you know, not harmless for the Broncos, but like a harmless pass in the middle of the field that got picked, like an easy pick for Honey Badgers. It's like, oh, man, it was right there. Like, you had a chance to – a little bit like Fangio this week, right? Like, I think it's ridiculous that Vic Fangio can erase all those embarrassments if he goes in and beats Kansas City. But for the vast majority of Broncos country, that's the case, that they'll be like, yep, we're on board. He finally figured it out. He's turning it around. For all the mistakes Drew Lock has made, if he pulls that off and wins that game, I think it totally changes this narrative. I don't think they bring in Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's the guy. I think it's, oh, well, you know what? Because they probably would have finished, you know, 7-9 or whatever. It's like back-to-back 7-9 seasons. He would have got the COVID pass that everybody else got. Like, that was the moment, and he just laid an egg. He just did nothing in that instance. That was the most disappointed I've been in Drew Lock.
Wow, the most disappointed you've been in your son. I mean, that was look, the average margin of victory is like, it's like 29-16. This one was tight, that, you know, and the spread on the game was double figures, if I'm remembering it correctly. It was like 9 or 10. So a 22-16 loss. Okay, that brings us to today. Here we go at long last. We've talked about it. Our keys to the game presented by Nova Home Loans. James, if the Broncos are going to pull off the upset, they're going to have to do what?
Well, I think they need to follow the formula they had a year ago. Like, I actually think they did it almost to perfection, right? They ran the ball very well. Melvin Gordon had 130 yards, 130 plus.
Yeah, 131.
So they kept Patrick Mahomes standing on the sideline. They had an early turnover. Drew Lock threw one of his, you know, typical rolling left, trying to throw it downfield, make a big play, pick, that took points off the board because they were in field goal range. They got to avoid that. But other than that, they didn't turn the ball over, and they kept it a low-scoring game. Like, that's what they're going to have to do. So it's going to be a big dose of Javonte Williams. Teddy needs to do what Teddy does, and that's, you know, don't try to be the hero. Just, you know, take what's there, and if you throw short of the sticks, fans can home can be mad, but you know, Sam Martin can roll out and punt it away. Like, he just has to be fine with that. You can't have the big mistakes. You can't give up big plays. And then I think they need to do what they did against Justin Herbert. They have to be able to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes with four guys. Because then you got seven guys that can sit back in zone, and Vic can do all of his Vic stuff and make it confusing and get exotic with it. If they have to blitz that guy, they're toast. They're toast. He'll pick you apart. Then you're going to end up with single coverage on some plays on Tyreek Hill or on Kelce. Like, you just can't do the things you want to do. I think that's when it turns into a boat race if they can't get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. So relatively simple, to be honest with you. Run the football. Don't turn it over. And get some pressure with four. If you have to blitz, I think you're toast.
Good stuff there, man. We could really name like 10 things that need to go right. But if you could just boil it down to its simplest form, I love what you said about the turnovers and running the ball. I think it's so true. They had a shot last year when they lost 22-16. The time of possession was almost exactly even. I mean, seriously, the Broncos held the ball for 30 and a half minutes, and the Chiefs held it for 29 and a half minutes. It's got to look something similar to that, if not a little bit more slanted towards the Broncos' way. They were in that close of a football game a year ago, 22-16, being -2 in the turnover margin. You don't have to be otherworldly. It's not like you have to pick off Mahomes, you know, three times. You just need to play rock-solid football. The Chiefs have been in a lot of close games this year. When it comes to, and I know we're not talking about the spread, but when it comes to against the spread stuff, they've been below average. They've been in a lot of tight games, low-scoring games. They've scored, this high-flying offense has scored 20 or less in three of their last four games. The Broncos don't need to reinvent the wheel. I really like what you said. You're on it. It sounds like, by the way, Vic Fangio spoke since we've been on the air. Melvin Gordon is doubtful ahead of Sunday's game. I don't think that's a great thing, but I also don't think it's a terrible thing. Javonte Williams, this is your shot. This is truly your shot. This town has been calling for more of you. The organization absolutely loves you. Picked you just, three picks into the second round or something like that? Here you go. This is the world is watching. If they don't know Javonte Williams yet, hopefully they find out on Sunday Night Football. And Bridgewater just has to be, and I'll steal your thought there. Bridgewater just has to be Bridgewater. Don't turn the football over. Throw for 170 yards, one or two touchdowns, run the ball effectively, win the time of possession, and the Broncos can if they do those things, in addition to a bunch of other things, like playing great defense against Mahomes, not letting Travis Kelce absolutely kill you the way that he has. Kelce averaging 86 yards a game against the Broncos. That would equate over a traditional 16-game seasons to like 1,400 yards. So do all that, and you'll have a shot. Do all that, and you'll have a shot. I just – here, let's shift gears here to our pick of our Broncos pick, courtesy of King Soopers, official grocery sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
No, I can go first. The other part
of it. And
I
know why you want to go first.
The other part of it.
Go ahead. I'm on to you.
When you look at the game last year, is the reason the time of possession was relatively even, one, the Broncos ran the football well, right, and made Patrick Mahomes stand on the sideline. But then they did what Vic Fangio's defense likes to do. We saw it last week against the Chargers. It's give up long drives that burn a bunch of time, and you try to hold them to a Harrison Butker field goal. Like, that's the Broncos' MO when they play the Chiefs, is we're not going to stop them from scoring. Let's just make them burn some time so they don't get a bunch of possessions, because we're going to have these long 7-minute drives and then have Butker kick field goals. And then if we can make a play or two like they did against the Chargers where they get the pick in the end zone and then they get the pick six and it's KKFN, KKFN HC1. Long by Timber.
I
finally
so bad,
got one.
And I just let you have it because you deserve it. You deserve it.
Oh, that was, you did just like give me the lamp. It's like when you let your kids win at something. That's what just happened.
I love it though. I love it. I love how badly you wanted it.
So, I mean, it's the only thing I've thought about all day during the show was don't screw this up. But that is their thing, right? Like it's try to hold them to field goals, or when they get down there, man, if we can make a play, the Chargers missed a field goal and threw a pick in the end zone. That's why the Broncos won the game. The Chargers kind of dominated statistically in the second half, but they made three mistakes. Missed field goal, pick in the end zone, and then the pick six by Surtain. Broncos didn't really do much in that. That's what they got to do. If Tyreek Hill's going 80 yards, Travis Kelce's going 70 yards, those are the games when we listen to all these vignettes that turned into blowouts because they're making big plays, especially in Kansas City. You just can't do that. Man, I so want to pick the Broncos. I do. I was talking to our guy Matt earlier.
Yeah, Matt Kansas, big fan. Shout out Mama Kansas. Yep. He really wanted that shout out there.
Merry Christmas to Mama Kansas.
Christmas shout out.
By the way, Matt Kansas is like maybe the best name of all time. It sounds totally made up.
Matt Kansas. Yeah, that's solid. And by the way, he brought a shirt that Stokely and I have both signed, and he wanted James to sign it too.
I mean, what's not to like about Matt Kansas at that point, right?
I love it.
I was telling him, I'm like, I think I'm going to pick the Broncos. Cody swayed me when we had Cody on from Kansas City. I think he's right. I think this team is just ready to break out. It feels like the game where Chris Collinsworth is just going to carry on and on and on. It's going to go one of two ways. Either you're texting me how great Javonte Williams is because he has this huge game, or I'm texting you going, boy, looks really special when he has 42 yards or something like that. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be the second way. I can't in good conscience pick Vic Fangio in a big game. I just can't. I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Give me a score.
34-13. I think it's a blowout. I think they're going to get rolled.
Okay.
I think Fangio is going to Fangio. I think Bridgewater is going to Bridgewater.
I appreciate where your head's at. I'm a little bit different, but we're on the same path. You're just in the fast lane. I'm in the slow lane. I'm going to reduce this down to its very simplest form. Who has the better coach? Chiefs. Who has the better quarterback? Chiefs. Who's the home team? Chiefs. Who's 19-3 coming off of a bye? Andy Reid's group. This is Sunday Night Football. You're not catching anyone sleeping. Everyone's going to be up for this game, but we call them Teddy Covers for a reason. I think it's closer than you think, but I ultimately have the Chiefs winning a 12th consecutive game over the Denver Broncos, 30-21.
Okay, I could see that. I'm probably a little more down on the Broncos offense, obviously, than you are. When you say slow lane, it just makes me think of Vic Fangio. And he's the guy that's got his left blinker on the whole time. Like, he drives all the way to Dove Valley every morning with his left blinker on the whole way. That's just how I picture Vic Fangio going to work. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I have not been this excited about a Broncos game in a long, long time.
And that's a testament to what the Broncos have done. A pressure situation like this is earned. This wouldn't be pressure if the Broncos were 3-8 coming in.
No, not at all. So that makes it, to some extent, George Payton got his wish. They're playing this is truly a meaningful game. This isn't just one because you're in the hunt. This is for first place in the AFC West. It's a big game. It changes the narrative for so many people.
It does.
In that organization.
It does. It would be massive. Have you ever seen Polar Express?
No, that's the Tom Hanks cartoon movie.
Yeah, got the bell, and if you believe, you hear the ringing. If you don't believe, you can't hear it. I can't hear any ringing.
They'll call the foundry. The Fangio statue will be back on. They'll get it rolling. I just don't think it's going to happen, but I hope I'm wrong.
Thanks for being here this week, man. I had a really fun time with you.
You bet, man. It was fun.
Everyone, enjoy your weekend. Be good to one another. Enjoy the game, win or lose. And we will leave it there for now. Shout out everyone here at Blake Street Tavern. Shout out Rock and Roll Brian and Kevin Kistner. Chicken Fingers back in the studio. We step aside because the drive is right now.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.